This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. Special edition with Bob Zimmerman. We turn to space exploring, and the results on the surface of Mars are puzzling. You will recall we have two rovers on the surface, Curiosity climbing and Perseverance exploring what is called Jezero Crater, where, I understand so far, there's evidence of water existing once upon a time. But, Bob, this isn't going according to plan. What's happened?
Yes, they chose Jezero Crater as a landing site for Perseverance specifically because it has this very unusual geological flow feature that comes in through a break in the crater's rim and flows into the interior of the crater that looks just like a delta you'd see at the end of a river like the Mississippi Delta. And they've called it a delta, and they said, oh my gosh, this really makes us think that there was once a lake in Jezero Crater. Much like they think from data that there was a lake once in the floor of Gale Crater, where Curiosity is traveling. Now, I must point out that the number one geological mystery about Mars is that even though there's lots of visual and actual on-site data that suggests liquid water once flowed on Mars, no scientist has been able to come up with a model that would allow liquid water to have ever flowed on the surface of Mars ever in the past. They've come up with models. Nobody's really happy with any of those models. So we have a mystery. We have geological features that suggest water, but we have a planet that could never have liquid water. And no one's been able to solve this mystery. Now, Perseverance went to Jezero Crater because they thought there might be a lake there once, and that would give them more information about this water mystery. But what after the first year of exploration and the floor of Jezero Crater, the scientists have unexpectedly discovered no evidence that a lake ever existed there. That's a puzzle. And let me quote, instead, all indications are that water exposure in the areas Perseverance has explored is limited, and the waters were likely to be near freezing. While this doesn't rule out that it will find lake deposits later, the environment might not have been as welcoming for life as a lake in a crater might have suggested. And what this data suggests strongly is something that's been building in the data of Mars for years, which is that it could be that liquid water wasn't the thing that formed all these water-like features, we think, but it was more like Iceland, where a lot of the water existed as glacial ice, and glaciers might have formed a lot of this material, or ice frozen lakes might have caused it. Now, this jury is still out. We don't know this for sure, but the evidence continues to point more to ice and glaciers on Mars as a factor. Perseverance, that delta looks like a flowing lake, flowing water from a river into a lake, but now there's no evidence so far of a lake. That's the mystery. John, let's go on to one of my cool images.
Now, we have a overhead shot of frozen glacial eddies on Mars. What is an eddy, Bob?
Well, when you have water flowing down a river, sometimes the water is blocked on the edges and it forms circular flows, just going around and around. That's an eddy. Glaciers flow much like rivers, liquid water, but they have differences. But they will form eddies on the edges when the grade going downhill kind of dissipates, so the water doesn't really know where it needs to flow, and so eddies form. Mars, in this theme of glaciers on Mars, Mars has a lot of glaciers. Mars is not a dry planet. The equatorial regions of Mars, from 30 degrees latitude down, is very dry. But above 30 degrees latitude north and south, there are tons and tons of glaciers found almost everywhere. And the farther north you go, the more ice you find nearer the surface. And this particular cool image I got was in a valley called Mammoth Valley in what I call glacial country in the mid-latitude, northern latitudes of Mars. And where we had these eddies, it looks like glacial eddies. And why are the glacial eddies there? It's a good question. We're not quite sure. But Mammoth Valley, other scientists have looked at the valley itself. It looks like a river channel in some ways. But they don't think it was formed by liquid water. The scientists came to the conclusion that instead they think subterranean flows, underground flows, caused voids, which caused the surface to collapse or sink. And the collapsing and sinking is what caused the channels on the surface. So their theory is that if there was liquid water, it was underground, and that caused the channels. Meanwhile, you've got these eddies, which says glaciers on the surface. There have been other studies that said that some meandering channels we see on Mars were actually formed by glaciers, not flowing water. This is the ultimate mystery of Mars. We might someday have to explain all of Mars's strange features, not by water, but by ice. And that may be the solution.
Bob, I just mentioned that Mars always is accepted when we talk about the inner solar system. Accepted. You know, Mercury, Venus, Earth, all good examples of the formation of the inner solar system. Mars, there's a glitch or a hesitation or a caveat. Is that because of the thinking that Mars might be an incomplete formation of a planet? In other words, something that didn't actually turn into the full scale that could have, and therefore things are different there than they are on Earth. There's even speculation that there might have been water on the surface of Venus at one point, but something changed. But Mars, we have this controversy that keeps coming up. No atmosphere, no water, and we can't explain the apparent water in the early billion, in the first billion years.
Once again, when you're exploring planetary bodies of any kind in the solar system, every one of them has all been unique. So I don't see a sense that Mars is separate from the others. Mars is unique, just like Earth is unique, such as the Moon is unique, such as Mercury is unique, and Venus is unique. They're all completely different from each other, completely. And so they're all different. Every object seems to be very unique from us. We've very rarely seen two that seem similar. And so Mars has its own particular problems. It's a terrestrial inner planet, but it's got its own mysteries. And I think what this really is pointing to is that we're not going to really understand the formation of solar systems and planets until we've actually studied a lot of solar systems and a lot of planets, exoplanets, in other places, because the number of we don't have enough sample yet to really get a sense of the overall patterns. All we get is one or two unique events, so three or four unique events, or even a dozen unique events, but it's not enough to begin to see trends. And so that's where our mysteries lie right now, John. It's because the uniqueness of the universe allowed so much variety that we really don't have a sense of everything.
Ingenuity, the little toaster that could. It was supposed to fly for 12 minutes, and then who knew whether it was going to be successful in Martian atmosphere. Well, Bob is going to introduce us to the 34th flight and an upgrade. What's happened, Bob?
Yes, Ingenuity, after a week delay, finally completed its 34th flight. It was only supposed to do like a few, maybe three or five. It's supposed to only last 30 days. It's now almost a year and a half of flying. This particular flight was a very simple one. They merely rose about 16 feet. Flew for only about 18 seconds, and then came right back down where they landed. They just went up and down. And the reason it was such a simple flight was because it was the first test of the installation of new hazard avoidance software. Right now, what they're doing with Ingenuity is they're using it to test helicopter flying on Mars. Helicopter flying on Mars in rough terrain. Because Ingenuity, as originally designed, was just going to test the ability to fly on Mars. Could you even do it? And so its software was designed to look for very flat areas to land. And they now want to move it into much rougher territories, but they needed to change the software to do it, and they've now successfully done so. It'll now be able to land in much more rough terrain and fly over much more rough terrain. And the purpose for doing this is that they need to learn how to fly around in Perseverance in Jezero Crater, because the core samples that Perseverance is gathering and will deposit for later pickup are going to be grabbed by future Ingenuity-like helicopters that are going to fly around, grab the core samples, bring them back to the ascent capsule, deposit them in the ascent capsule, and that's going to bring those samples back to Earth. And so they need to learn how to fly in Jezero Crater, and Ingenuity is now going to give them the opportunity to fly and test on how to do that.
James Webb Space Telescope takes us from studying the planets in our solar system to studying planets in exoplanet solar systems, and it's given us the atmosphere of one particular exoplanet. This is a skill I had heard about, but it looks like a very exciting explorations ahead of us, Bob, for years.
Hubble has done this, as well as a lot of ground-based telescopes, where if you have a transiting exoplanet going in front of a star, the light from the star goes through the atmosphere and produces a spectroscopy that you can read, and it'll tell you what some of the elements of the atmosphere are, because that's the emissions or the changes to the spectrum produced by those elements. And they've done it with Hubble, and they've done it with ground-based telescopes, but James Webb is a infrared telescope, and so it gets spectroscopy from wavelengths that can tell you a lot more about the elements in a in an atmosphere. And so they used it. They have a project to study about 70 exoplanets, and the first one they studied is about 700 light years away, and they were able to detect, using Webb, water, carbon monoxide, sodium, potassium, and more, including carbon dioxide in this atmosphere. And this makes that planet somewhat, this is a hot Jupiter, but it's somewhat similar to Saturn without any detectable rings. And this is just the first step. This is where Webb can shine. It can look in the infrared and tell us things, not pretty pictures, but actual real data to tell us what exoplanets are like, John.
Astronaut fabricated data in a ground-based experiment. This is the Japanese Space Agency. Not a good direction, Bob. And we can guess that this has happened before, but here it is. What is the story?
There's been a lot of examples in the medical and in the soft sciences, in peer-reviewed journals, of a lot of fabrication of data and a lot of fake research.
Right.
There's been a lot of evidence in the last decade of this. These fields right now seems to be rife with corruption. We experienced a lot of that during the Wuhan flu panic.
And Bob, I mentioned that Nobel laureates are not exempt from this problem. It's coming up.
Oh, yes. We have a serious problem in our medical community right now, because there's a lot of money and people are no longer keeping their scientific ethics right. I mean, I've talked about this in the climate field for decades. It is corruption. It's unfortunate. Science is no longer focused on finding out the truth. It's now focused on how can I garner the most money. And so Japan's space agency, JAXA, recently announced that one of its astronauts, Satoshi Furukawa, he was running a ground-based experiment from 2015 to 2017, where he had up to a total of 42 individuals agree to spend 14 days in a mock space station, during which blood and urine samples were gathered and they were filling out evaluation forms to see what a confined space, how it would affect the human person, the human body. Well, it appears that there was multiple misconduct in this research, including creating data, including intentionally rewriting evaluations, including not providing sufficient assessment methods. Some result of this is the wrongdoing was discovered after the experiment was completed. They didn't publish any papers. They had to cancel everything. It was just a waste of time. And so JAXA says it's going to punish the people involved, including Furukawa, the astronaut. But he's scheduled to fly to ISS in 23. It's not clear whether that flight will happen or not. It's also not clear whether he'll be kicked off it. He might fly. But they say they're going to punish him for this stuff. But once again, we have an example of corruption in the science field, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. This is a special edition of Bob Zimmerman's broadcast of Space Engineering and Space Exploration, Ingenuity, its 34th flight. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.